grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate that. Thank you. Some of you heard me talk about and complain about my exploits on these wonderful little inventions, smartphones. I'm not a smart caller, so I don't know. I'm still trying to learn. In fact, I get this message every Saturday morning about 7 a.m. or 6:30 in the morning in Spanish from some sort of sales call from New Jersey in a Spanish accent. And my phone tries to translate it, and it comes out like saying, do you have the right dog food for your dog? And I don't think that's exactly what they're selling, but I'm not sure what the translation is, but it's not very clear. First of all, I don't have a dog. I could care less as far as what kind of dog food, anyway. So it's not, and so I need to ask Pastor Rick, because they said I could ask you how to block this call every Saturday morning. So I'll have to find out how to do that, because I can't figure it out. Oh, we got all kinds of technicians. What? Huh? No, it's a phone call, recorded message. Anyway, oh, you can do that. What? I don't know how. I know, it's funny. I have no clue. Thank you. I don't have a clue. But anything, just basic hello, goodbye. Anyway, so call, getting, receiving phone calls, who is it, what's going on? Sometimes those positive, right? It's not always negative to have a phone on with you. Sometimes you get positive phone calls, maybe about a new job, right, or something, or going out on a date, or whatever it might be, or promotion. Oh, I got a promotion. So it can be helpful. I'm just not sure, so I don't want to talk about phones anymore, because it drives me crazy. But the point is, God calls us, Jesus calls us, and when he calls us, it's all good, right? But isn't it sad how many people want to block a call from God? It's like, uh-oh, God's trying to get my attention. Just put that away. Just turn it off. Mute it. I don't want to hear about it right now. I want to do my own, right? We go farther and farther away from that phone. Have you ever lost your phone? It always goes between that crack of the seats in the car. Drives me crazy. I'm getting more and more mad about phones the more I talk about it. I better move on. Yeah, the positive is, though, that when Jesus calls, as I said, it's always good. And we have this wonderful, probably my favorite book, Jesus Calling. And isn't it awesome? And I wanted to read one that kind of fits about this. It says, I am calling you, this is Jesus speaking, I am calling you to a life of constant communion with me. Basic training includes learning to live above your circumstances, even while interacting on that cluttered plane of life. You yearn for a simplified lifestyle so that your communication with me can be uninterrupted. But I challenge you to relinquish the fantasy of an uncluttered world. Have you gotten to that point? Like, it's just not going to happen, right? It just ain't going to happen. A calm life, right, tranquil, everything planned out. No, it ain't going to happen. So give up on that idea. But I challenge you, Jesus says in this devotion, to relinquish the fantasy of an uncluttered world, but instead accept each day just as it comes, each day, and find me in the midst of it all. Talk with me about every aspect of your day, including your feelings. Remember that your ultimate goal is not to control or fix everything around you or everyone around you. It is to keep... Do we have some throat problems over here? Oh, okay. Me too. And what was I? But remember that your ultimate goal is not to control everyone or everything, but to be communing with me. A successful day is one in which you have stayed in touch with me, even if many things remain undone at the end of the day. It's not the end of the world if we don't finish everything on our to-do list or our planner, right? But God's in control. He may want to interrupt our schedules to do something He wants us to do, right? Amen. Have you found that out? Pretty cool. Let Him be in control. Do not let your to-do list, written or mental, become an idol directing your life. Instead, ask my Spirit to guide you moment by moment. He will keep you close to me. I thought that was pretty cool. That's a word from Jesus, right? He keeps calling us. He keeps reminding us of who He is. And sometimes we forget that. We think, oh yeah, that's right. Sometimes I put my phone on mute and I forget, and somebody will call, and oh no, I didn't turn my phone back on. We have to be in connection with God all the time, and sometimes we just want to turn God's voice off. When it's convenient, when we want God, otherwise, I'm busy. Give him a busy signal. Well, the story for today is about the call of God on Paul's life, Paul's call, if you will, Saul's call, to know the Lord. And it's very interesting. You think, why is Paul making this big deal? He did last week, and we talked about it again today. His authentic call into ministry. It's like, well, okay, Paul, what's the big deal? We don't challenge it, but there were many people who were challenging it. They're going, who's this guy? Who does he think he is? And all of a sudden, he's Pastor Paul. Who called him into ministry? Well, he's going to say, God did. You know, he was a doctor by God. And we'll get into that here. Okay, so I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. They were saying, oh, he's just cooking this up. He went and talked to the disciples, and it's not really of God. Paul's main passion was to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Last week we talked about that. If anybody adds anything or anyone to the gospel, let him be accursed, Paul said. Very, he can be stronger than that, right? He wanted always for God, for Jesus to be exalted and glorified all the time. And the gospel is pure. It's wonderful. It's incredible. It's amazing grace. And nothing or no one should be allowed to taint that gospel, right? We don't want tainted food. As a single guy, I always have a lot of leftovers in my refrigerator, and because the servings are too big, and so I've got all this stuff in my fridge, and sometimes I use the smell test to see if it's still good. I'm not sure that's the most reliable, for more reason than one. I got, let's see, when did I last get that? Are those eggs still good? Is this good? Is that good? Oh, no, that's not good. That's okay. That's crazy. It's just crazy. But Paul doesn't want anyone worried about the gospel being tainted at the church. We want the pure word of God, right? The pure word of Jesus, the pure word of the Father, the recorded word of God, based everything on the word of God. Sola scriptura, the old Lutherans would say, right? Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone. That does not change. And so Paul is defending the gospel, saying this didn't come from human origin, just cook it up. I remember we talked, and Pastor, with many sermons have talked in the past, about knowing that the Bible is true is the one fact, especially the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is, it's very obvious that Jesus rose from the dead. Where'd the body go? The disciples didn't steal it. The enemies didn't steal it. Where'd he go? So that's the test of faith is, that did Jesus rise from the dead or not? And if he did, he is Lord. And all the questions we have in life can be answered. We just go to Jesus. Say, Jesus, you take care of this. Instead of trying to have the answer for everyone, for everything. Are we the answer man? No, we're not. God is, right? So Paul is defending the gospel. And he says, this is not of human origin. In fact, Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection. He says, some of you are saying there's no resurrection. Well, if there's no resurrection, then Christ wasn't raised from the dead. And if he's not raised from the dead, we're in a lot of trouble here. And we're to be pitied more than anybody because we're wasting our time. But he says, but in fact, the dead, and there goes my microphone again. I just love this. Here's not the fact. Well, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is Christ risen. We don't just say it on Easter Sunday. Every Sunday should be Easter Sunday because Christ is alive and well, and he's on the throne of the Father. He's the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah, right? So this gospel that we talk about, that we depend upon, is not from human origin. He says, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. They were saying, oh, Paul, you just got this from other people. You're just joining the bandwagon. But you're not a real apostle because you weren't there when Jesus rose from the dead. So we don't want to listen to you. We want to go over here with these guys. And they're the real Christians because they have still all the Jewish laws. And we're not so sure about you. Have you ever had people doubt you and not so sure about, well, why is that guy? Why is that gal up there talking? Why did they get the promotion? Why did they get the call? I didn't get the call. Right? And some people wonder, what's going on? And Paul had his detractors. He had the two lines, right? And a lot of them are questioning, who's this guy? Does Johnny come lately? All of a sudden he says, I'm a pastor. And we are supposed to test somebody's call up to a certain point and then trust God, right? Well, they weren't trusting Paul at all. And so here Paul is defending his ministry and the gospel, actually defending the gospel. He said, I received it from revelation from Jesus Christ. I love talking to people about how they came to faith. How did God call you to know Jesus? How did he call you to this church? And we got some incredible stories over the years, right? People taking a bus, and the bus just stopping right in front of the church when there's no bus stop there. It's God's bus stop. We should put a sign up there. God's bus stop. We got our own He's got his own bus stop right here. Will we get in trouble for doing that? You do it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Probably by zoning law or fines or something like that. But anyway, it's amazing how God uses circumstances to get people to come here. Many times through the bus, there's somebody on the bus talking to a bus driver about the church, and the bus driver coming to church here. It could be a pastor from Uganda living temporarily in Scottsdale, Arizona, asking God what church you should go to that's given grace, and driving all the way in a strange city from Scottsdale to here and hearing the gospel and falling on his knees in the back and being able to pray as a person, not as a pastor in front. It's all around the stories of how God keeps moving. Yeah, people come and go in our church, but you think about this church being a net for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, drawing people in that big fishing net and then releasing them. We catch and release, and they go somewhere else. They go to this church. They go to this city. They go to that country, and they start something for God. So the kingdom is greater than this little church, right? We get so focused on churchianity instead of Christianity and about man's kingdom instead of God's kingdom. And Paul didn't care about any of that except for the kingdom of God, right? And so we want to be part of God's kingdom, part of what God's doing. So he said he received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Now most of us, almost all of us, receive the gospel through confirmation classes, Bible studies, sermons, but it's always the word of God. There are occasions, despite what my seminary professor told me, that God still speaks in dreams and visions. And I will not say that, oh, that stopped in the days of the book of Acts. Oh, really? Then how do you explain Muslims in the Middle East getting a vision from Jesus Christ in the middle of the night and saying, go to this church and you'll learn more about me. I am real. I am Jesus. So it does still happen. But most of the time it's through the word of God. We got two Daryls in our church. One's in Oklahoma. And Daryl Olson was kidding me. He said, you know, I was asking about how'd you come to faith. He says, I was a druggie. And what? He says, yeah, I was drugged to Bible class. I was drugged to confirmation class. I was drugged to youth group. Well, maybe you had a mom or a dad that drugged you, that dragged you to church. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to Bible study. I don't want to go to youth group. You're going. And you're planting those seeds, right? And eventually those seeds will yield a harvest. So keep trusting, keep believing, right? Well, the other Daryl Shipman, who's in Oklahoma, this story, when he came to know Christ, he talked to them about, 2 weeks after he came to know Christ. It's like this guy had been in seminary, in Bible college. He had been reading the Word of God before that. It's almost like he got a download of the Holy Spirit when he came to Christ in 2 weeks' time. He was on this accelerated course of knowing Jesus. He is. Awesome. Yes. Oh, I got to call him today. But he's just a wonderful man who loved the book of Romans. Just for Romans, right? He'd sit over there and he'd interrupt Pastor Rick or me in the sermon. Well, Romans 6 says, Romans 7 and 8 says, and he lived through the book of Romans. And someone reminded me of that in jail, by the way, too. But that's a whole other story, which we may get to. The point is here, though, that Jesus calls us. Luther said in the explanation of the third article, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and keep me in one true faith. So the Holy Spirit is the one who uses all these circumstances to bring us to faith. He opens our hearts because our hearts are closed. Our hearts are closed to the gospel. So God has to get the key. That's another thing, too. Trying to figure out keys. I got three keys that look the same, trying to figure out which one is the sacristy key and so forth and so on. But you got to find the right key to open the right door, right? The Holy Spirit unlocks the door of your heart, and then the light comes in, the truth comes in, and you receive it. Before then, it's like, ho-hum, how long is he going to be done here? Let's get this over with. Ho-hum, you know? But when we come to know Jesus, we love his word. We love to worship. We love to raise our hands. We love to serve him. We love to praise him. We love to hear his word. We love to speak his word. We love to live together with other Christians. And there's nothing like Sunday morning, that song. Hallelujah. Sunday morning, right? It's a great day to be alive. So Paul was saying, I had direct revelation from Jesus Christ. How do you explain the change, the dramatic change and amazing difference, right? I mean, going from killing Christians, persecuting, going out of the way, traveling, to now being persecuted and boldly, with great boldness but also great love, proclaiming about Jesus Christ, that he is the only way and the grace of God, and saying grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, love and peace to you, being full of love, writing a chapter about love in 1 Corinthians 13. How do you explain that dramatic change in Paul's life but Jesus Christ? Because he really literally got knocked off his horse, rode to Damascus, right? And his bright light and those boys knocked him off his horse, made him blind for a few days, and all of a sudden he comes to know that Jesus, the one he persecuted, is on the throne, and he is Lord, and everything changed in his life. And everything changes in your and my life, right? Once we get that call from God, you go, wow, he does love me. In the middle of cancer, he's there for me. In the middle of the divorce, in the middle of being lovingly released from a church, he's still there. God is still there. He's still on the throne. No matter what happens, he will never lose his love, or I will never lose his presence as long as I stay close to him, right? That's what Paul was saying. He says, no man did this, only Jesus Christ. So he's telling him, look, I received this from revelation of Jesus Christ. So he had an instant download, and so that Paul had he didn't have to go to seminary 4 years. He had a download from Jesus Christ. Personally, we don't know how long that was, if it was just the road to Damascus or other time, but he had this direct revelation, and what took the disciples 3 years and being with Jesus, Paul got just like that. He got this revelation. And so he's on par with the rest of the apostles, whether he was there when Jesus rose from the dead then or not. He saw Jesus. He had a fresh revelation, a fresh knowledge and appreciation and a relationship with Jesus. He had this instant relationship like he'd had him for years in his life. And so when Paul could then go back and start preaching the gospel, he had authority from whom? From the seminary? From the church council? Oh, you're a reverend doctor now. He didn't have papers. He didn't have a certificate of ordination. He came from God, right? He was sealed and called by God to go out and do what he was going to do, right? Amen. That's a big amen, because... So he's saying, don't look at me. It's all about Jesus Christ, who changed everything. He says, for you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism. Yeah, they heard all right. They were afraid of him. They were like, I don't know, we should let this guy in our church. Remember, he used to kill people? I'm going to let him. I don't know, this could be another ploy to get us all killed if we let this guy in our church. The church is going to go fall apart if we let this person in. But he says, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. He's trying to destroy the church in the past, and now he's trying to build it up. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my father. You could be extremely zealous about tradition and be wrong. You could be extremely zealous about religion and be wrong, right? But we're extremely zealous, full of the fire of the Holy Spirit, and be right on as long as we're basing everything on the Word of God. That's the key. Is everything we do and say based and preach based on the Word of God? That's why I love our elders' meetings. When I can go, is because it's all based on what does Jesus want? What is the vision that God has here? Not, well, I think this and I think that. So Paul says, you know, I used to do all this. He says, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me. And we'll get to the rest of it. Notice Paul goes back to the day he was born. He wasn't a Christian when he was born. I remember you talking, Pastor Rick, that from the day you were born, God ordained you to be in ministry, but it wasn't. You obviously weren't ordained in your earlier life the way you lived. But God had a plan from your birth. And for all of us, from birth, Jeremiah talks about the fact that before he was born, God says, I knew you. So know that. That God knew you before you were born in your mother's womb. God knew you and the plans he would eventually have for each one of us, right? We don't know. Other people sure don't know. They pray and they hope that there's a plan that God's going to use us, and we trust God. So Paul said, you know, even from birth, I was called by his grace, not by the law, not by the Jewish traditions, but only by God's amazing grace. It says, God was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. My immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. By the way, I have a Bible here that has all of the has a map of all the journeys of Paul. And it says how long it took, and it traces going back and forth, back and forth. If I were a history professor at the seminary and wanted to give just dry doctrines, we'd go through this and have little charts. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go through the charts of how long he'll be here, and then he went over here. Who cares? The point is, he didn't consult human beings. He trusted God, and God led him, and God opened the doors. What doors is God going to open in your life? What doors has he opened in your life? And are you going through those doors? You're going, I don't know. We got this door. It always looks so weird when you go to a church and the door, there's a chain on the door, right? If you come earlier to church, we got it chained until somebody tried to break in. And Pastor Rick has to always love this chain at the end of the service, and he locks it all up. Robert, can you do that today? Thank you. Later today. And he locks it up all. It's like, it looks weird seeing a church, not with open doors, but a lock around it. That's to protect what we have here. But, which is nothing. We got to have a sign, like I said, there's nothing here valuable. Don't waste your time trying to break in, you people. But basically, see, I didn't consult anybody on this, Paul says. God's grace was revealed to me, and I immediately obeyed the command not to consult human beings, but consult God, and spend lots of time with Jesus. So Paul was making up for lost time by spending a lot of time with Jesus. And there are so many people in jail that actually thank God for the chance to go to jail because they had lots of time to spend with Jesus, right? Lots of time to pray. And it's just amazing how that works, how they come to faith in Jesus Christ or come back to faith in that time in jail. And are they hungry for the Word of God in jail? It's amazing. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Amen. But anyway, it says, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, that is Paul, and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God, hello, there's a phone call from God. I assure you before God that what I am writing is not a lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I'm not going to go through all that, okay? I was personally unknown to the churches in Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, quote unquote, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. Oh, what happened to our great PowerPoint? Oh, well, that's all right. Okay. Updates. Oh, that's another thing. The computer always wants to update the worst time. That's all right. Okay. But here's the point. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. How many people do you know that praise God because of you? They see you, see the change in you. They see something really different in you. And sometimes, well, we aren't recognized. I didn't recognize you today. Your hair looked very nice. And, oh my goodness, it's Janet. Oh my goodness. I couldn't believe it. When we change, Jesus changes, sometimes we're almost not recognizable because of the change in us, right? It's like, wow, who is this? Well, the Bible says, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. And that's what the gospel is all about, that God sent his Son to die on the cross, forgive us for sins, give us new life, new hope, new joy, new vigor, new enthusiasm, new fire, right? So that's what the gospel is. And then we also are called by God to serve him, to minister, not just pastors. It's a real heresy of the church that, well, the pastor does the ministry. No, he doesn't. The pastor's called to equip the saints to do ministry. You're all called to be ministers, all of us. So if everyone would get up and go out into the world and serve and say, I'm called by God just as much as Pastor Rick and everybody else in our pastoral staff. You have a call in your life. You really do. Are you listening? Are you hearing? Do you realize how God wired you? And then go with the gifts and the talents you have to serve Jesus for the sake of his kingdom. Then it gives life purpose. When you go to work, you say, God, use me however you want to use me. And it makes life worth living and death worth dying when we have Jesus Christ. So we're called to the gospel. We're called to know the Lord. There's a Christian guy who's the father of one of the kids I'm working with at Touchstone. We're sitting in Durango jail and waiting for a court hearing. And the grandfather starts talking about how he came to know Jesus. And he's a real crusty, real cynical guy. On the outside, he's real crusty. And inside, he's like a teddy bear. And everybody's afraid of him, but I love sitting and talking with these. Well, I don't have, you know, what are you doing today? And I'm just kind of gruff. And when he went to shake my hand, he's sitting down and I'm standing up. Well, in court, this is outside the courtroom, he tries to pull me over his chair. And so as he's sitting down, he's shaking my hand, he's yanking me down here in the court. I go, not now, Charlie. Anyway, he loves doing all that. And he said, did I ever tell you that I wanted to commit suicide a few years ago and I wanted to die? And I went to a church. So my wife drove me to church, dragged me to church, went there, and this pastor prayed for me, and all of a sudden the darkness was gone completely and has never come back. He said, I need to tell you that. And that's what God does, right? The light comes in. We all have a testimony to share what God's done in our life. Paul's sharing what God did, and only God, did in his life. What about you? What is God doing now for you in your life? How is he calling you into what is he calling you? You know, Sharon, when you talk about going to jail as a minister, you always, like right now, you've got this big smile in your face because you never would have, and God would call you to that kind of fruitful ministry, and it's very fruitful, right? And so you never know where God's going to call you and how fulfilling it's going to be. And just to kind of share how God leads us, and we got to be listening to him, is that last Friday I couldn't go to the jail service that I do. Well, now it's a bilingual service in Lower Buckeye Jail, okay? And I couldn't go because I had to work, so I asked Steve and Sandy to go for me. They did. Well, they forgot where my jail was, so they went to the wrong pod, right? And they bring in 20 people. Well, the week before, I only had three, and I think I talked about it. They had three men, and she brings in 20. And what's the deal? Well, it turned out I used to do that pod, and they told me that everybody moved over to this other pod, and I've been doing that for about 6 months. Well, recently, when I go to that pod, nobody wants to go to chapel. In fact, this past Friday, the chaplain of the guard came back and says, nobody wants to go. Not one person wants to go. It makes you feel real good as a pastor. Like, oh, great. And what's going on? God's closing this door here to this jail. And the three guys I saw before, I'm wondering who they were, if they were angels, because they weren't there anymore. Nobody I could recognize was there. And they all looked at me as they came in about chapel, looking like, why would we want that here? So I think, God, I think you're closing the door at this pod. Well, thanks to Sandy and Seal going to the wrong pod, the one I no longer go to, they brought in 20 people to the chapel service last Friday, and they go, where's Perry been? We miss him. We're so hungry for the Word. We haven't had chapel for a long time. So I came last past Friday. I says, come on in. And so now I'm switching back to the old pod. In fact, one of my clients from Touchstone's there. Nobody told me that there were people there hungry for God. So you want to go where God's leading you, where there is fertile soil, right? And it is so cool how God worked that. So you never know. So I'm glad they went to the wrong pod, because we think we're going the wrong way in life. And God says, no, that may be a little detour. You got to take this detour. That's my highway. That's the way I have planned the road and the journey I have planned for you. So saying all that, have you lost your zeal? Have you lost your love, your first love for God, for Jesus, for the kingdom, for the gospel? Remember you used to sing those songs, cry out of joy. Your heart would beat faster to know and love Jesus. A lot of us, many of us, maybe all of us at one time or other, lose that passion, lose that love, lose that joy, and just kind of go through the motions, and we get tired. We all get wore out living in this desert of sin, of evil, of setbacks over and over again. We get tired. We all get tired. Say, Lord, what's going on? Where are you? What are you doing in my life? Well, we need a fresh vision. Right now, may the Holy Spirit give us a new passion. Bring back that love. Bring back that faith. And bring back that joy. May he do that now. Because we have a story, but maybe not as dramatic as Paul's, but God wants to use you. It's the gospel according to you. What is God doing in your life? So that, in closing, that verse, it says, and they praise God because of me. May others say that to his honor and glory about us. And we pray. Lord God, we thank you so much, Jesus, for your love, for revealing your grace to us, your mercy to us, your joy to us, giving us faith through the Holy Spirit, through the Word. We ask, Lord, give us a fresh faith, fresh vision of you. Give us, Lord, fresh love. Forgive us for getting cold and lukewarm, Lord. Bring back the fire. Revive us, Lord. Talk to us. Speak to us. Guide us. Call us, Lord. We're listening. Speak to us now. Bless us. As we bless and magnify and worship your wonderful name. Not just for what you did, but for who you are. The faithful one. Our Savior, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Amen.